Kiko Furukura has always known she was different. As a child, when she found a dead bird at nursery school, her logical solution was to suggest cooking and eating it, horrifying her teachers and classmates. In primary school, she stopped a fight by hitting a boy with a shovel, seeing it as the most efficient solution. These weren't acts of malice, but reflected her fundamental disconnect from social norms. Her bewildered parents took her to therapists who found no trauma, just a child who processed the world differently. By adulthood, Kiko had developed sophisticated coping mechanisms, careful observation, and methodical mimicry of normal people. She became a social chameleon, studying popular classmates' vocal inflections, walking styles, even lunch choices. This survival technique allowed her to navigate society without constant friction, but left her fundamentally isolated, moving through life as a perpetual observer rather than participant. What she needed wasn't therapy, but a framework, a clearly defined role with explicit rules that could guide her behavior without requiring the intuitive understanding of social norms that came naturally to others. She needed something like an instruction manual for being human, with clear protocols and defined boundaries. Her difference wasn't something to be cured, but accommodated through structure. The Smile Mart convenience store appeared to Keiko during university like a brightly lit aquarium in an empty business district. Despite financial stability, she felt inexplicably drawn to this ordered space. Training transformed 15 diverse individuals into uniform workers. For the first time, someone explicitly taught Keiko how to speak and what expressions to make, a revelation for someone who had struggled with social rules. Irashe mase, they practiced in unison, forming a chorus of belonging. The trainer praised her perfect mimicry, unaware that Keiko had been practicing similar imitations her entire life. The detailed manual became her Bible, providing instructions for every situation, from posture to counting change, creating the behavioral framework missing from her life. On opening day, Keiko experienced an epiphany. The store's sounds, sliding doors, beeping scanners, humming refrigerators, signaled her rebirth as a convenience store worker, a normal cog in society's machine. 18 years later, 36-year-old Keiko remains at the same store, though managers, co-workers, and products have all changed. She subsists on nearly expired store food, noting, "My body is made of convenience store food," seeing herself as physically integrated with the establishment. This connection extends beyond the physical. Keiko's personality is borrowed from colleagues, 30% Mrs. Izumi, 30% Sugawara, 20% the manager, with the remainder from past coworkers. She studies Mrs. Izumi for age-appropriate behavior and mimics others' reactions to appear normal, taking their approval as confirmation she's successfully performing as a person. The store provides not just employment, but identity. Outside, Keiko struggles with normal behavior, but inside, the manual guides her perfectly. She predicts sales based on weather, arranges effective displays, and handles customers appropriately. The convenience store has taught her to be human in ways family and education never could. Even in dreams, Keiko operates the checkout or wakes calling irashaimase. For her, normality means being a functional component in a system with clear expectations. Despite her fulfillment, Keiko faces relentless societal judgment. Her parents wait for her to grow out of her convenience store job, while job interviews stall when she can't justify her lengthy tenure in terms employers understand. The unspoken question follows her everywhere. Why would anyone remain a convenience store worker for years? Social interactions intensify this pressure. Through her friend Miho, Keiko meets normal women her age, but conversations turn awkward around personal topics. When she reveals she's never dated, friends suggest she might be asexual, preferring this explanation to confronting her fundamental difference. Like when she hit a boy with a shovel and adults blamed her family environment, people need explanations that preserve their sense of normalcy. Keiko yearns for the convenience store where she's valued purely as a worker, her personal attributes hidden behind the uniform. Even away from work, she finds comfort in picturing its bright interior, embracing an identity others dismiss. Everything changes when Shiraha joins the staff, painfully thin, awkward, and resentful of work he considers beneath him. Unlike Keiko, he finds no salvation in the store's structure. When he's caught sleeping in the break room after losing his apartment, Keiko offers him shelter. When Keiko's sister discovers Shiraha, she breaks down crying, begging Keiko to see a counselor. "Ever since you started working at the convenience store, you've gotten weirder," she sobs. Confused, Keiko asks if leaving the store would cure her. Her sister's distress stems not from actual problems, but from Keiko's failure to follow expected life paths. Shiraha smoothly lies about having a fight over an ex-girlfriend. Keiko's sister immediately brightens, relieved to hear a normal relationship problem. She's far happier thinking her sister is normal, even with problems, than having an abnormal sister for whom everything is fine. This reveals how people prefer familiar problems to unfamiliar contentment, valuing conformity over fulfillment. After 18 years, Keiko reluctantly leaves the convenience store due to family and Shihara's pressure. Her coworkers celebrate her auspicious departure, misunderstanding her situation entirely. Stepping out of the brightly lit white aquarium, she feels utterly lost. At home, Shihara searches job ads while Keiko sinks into depression. Her body, once synchronized with the store's rhythms, now feels disconnected from time itself. Without the familiar sounds that guided her, she is cut off from the world. She loses all sense of purpose, no longer knowing why she should sleep, eat properly, or maintain her appearance. When Shihara's sister-in-law calls, she cruelly suggests people like them should keep those rotten genes to yourself, reflecting society's view that nonconformity is a flaw to eliminate rather than a variation to accommodate. Keiko's experience reveals how essential structured environments are for those who process the world differently. Without clear expectations, she has no framework to guide her interactions. On the way to a job interview, Keiko follows Shiraha into a convenience store. When she hears the door chimes and "Irashaimase," something awakens in her. The familiar sounds speak directly to herself, reactivating her dormant self. During the lunch rush, Keiko instinctively rearranges displays and checks stock. When Shiraha confronts her, she explains simply, "I was born to hear the voice of the convenience store." Despite his protests that society won't accept such a creature, Keiko remains resolute. "More than a person, I'm a convenience store worker. My very selves exist for the convenience store." Keiko rejects society's definition of normality, declaring, "Think of me as an animal, a convenience store animal." Looking at her reflection, she finally sees a being with meaning, not defective, but a perfectly functioning convenience store worker. Have you ever wondered why we pathologize difference? Keiko's journey shows that fulfillment comes from embracing our authentic nature, not conforming to expectations.